Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. We let the music run a little long because yesterday, if you were listening to us, we had a photographer in here. And
it's like being a movie star.
Eric Korneman, who came in and took a lot of just wonderful pictures. Well, he just sent them over to us, so we just got the email, so we're all looking at them and seeing how good / bad we look.
And everybody looked great with one exception.
No, it's
great.
Not true. You look good.
I look like an old...
You just want us to say, oh, Alan, you're so cute.
Well, Roselle does the same thing, but we all know what the truth is here. It ain't good.
You look great. I don't know what we're going to do with the pictures yet, but a couple of them we'll put up and give you a sense of what's going on. They're very nice.
Why don't we put them all up?
Well, yeah, we will. Yeah. We'll just have to figure out how to do all that. I think probably we all want to pick what we put up, right?
Yes. No. Because...
Let me introduce everybody, and then we'll. I want to give you have Alan give you a lockbox update because that's all exciting news, and we'll start with our. But let me introduce our good friend Rich Honan, who is here. He is a corporate attorney and is with us every week, and we are very happy to have him here. We would love him here every single solitary day, but as Rich keeps on reminding us, he has a day job.
Happy to be here.
Thank you very much. Rosemary Romeo also has a day job, but it allows her to be here every day, and we're thrilled that she's here.
Well, she has a better day job than I do.
Not that professors don't work very hard.
She is the director of the journalism program at UAlbany, and we're thrilled, as always, to have Rosemary with us. And Alan Chartok is here and firing up his device and getting ready for the proceedings, and... also here to tell us what is going on with the lockbox. We are at a very important juncture in the lockbox. We have a brand new total that is fresh from the computer, and the news is pretty good, but it's not good enough.
Exactly what I was going to say. Perfect, Joe. Ladies and gentlemen, here's what happened. You did incredible work. You got us to the $500,000 mark. And we said, well, okay, this is a great opportunity because we have three fund drives a year to put a third of what the federal government gives us. Now, they give us $400,000, which is approximately $133,000, and to put that aside in the First Amendment Fund. And a segregated fund, which is directed by our Board of Trustees. You can't just use it. It has to be for an extraordinarily important thing like defunding public radio. So anyway, here's what we have in so far. We have now made, towards that $133,000, $40,705. Right, Joe?
$500,000.
Yes. Yeah. Whatever.
$540,000. I don't want people to think we only made $40,000. Yeah.
No. In the whole lockbox, right? Isn't that what we've made?
Yep.
$540,705.
Yes.
But $40,000.
I see what you're saying. Yes.
$705,000 is toward the First Amendment Fund to keep us going in the event. And I think it's looking more and more likely that they, quote, privatize or get rid of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and say, you guys got to go out and do it differently. And in any case, it doesn't much matter. We've made 40, so we have about 95, 94 to go. But we only have today... Tomorrow,
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, right.
So 5 days, 4.5 days, really.
Yeah, really. And that means everybody has to put something in. It would be great if we could say we really have done the right prudent thing to protect ourselves by saying, all right, let them take the money if they're going to, let them take it, but we'll be ready. And that's why we're asking you for this extra money, okay?
$91,195 is exactly what we need as of this moment. So $91,000 to fill the lockbox and to get that, right? Am I right on that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, $91,000. Okay, yep. Whatever.
$91,295 is what I have on my calculator, but I could be wrong because I was looking at the number through your – there you go.
Close. See what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. All right. So we're good. And just a reminder, since the First Amendment is so important, obviously so important, but also we have the First Amendment t-shirt. We have the First Amendment mug. Get either one for $100. Get them both for $150.
First Amendment really means something.
But maybe we need a little push.
And we're getting it. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I was just handed this sheet of paper, and it says... The Janey Fund has given us a challenge. If we can raise 633 $1,333.33, I think, by the first day of the fund drive, the Janie Fund will give us, listen to this, folks, I'm almost tearful, will give us $10,000. You know, Rich is laughing when I say, because I cry easy, like Chuck Schumer. But I do, and I mean it. I can't get over the generosity of people who have just done this, all of this. So it's terrific.
It certainly is. And
so 10,000 more, and you go to WMC.org or call us. Call us now, 1-800-323-9262-0.
And we don't get the money if we don't make the challenge.
That's
and the
right.
challenge is, as I mentioned, is now just about $92,000 that we need in the next four and a half days. So do whatever you can. Help the lockbox, help the First Amendment Fund, help whatever you can and get us there. So this, if we make the goal, and I know we'll make it, then going into the fund drive, we'll have just less than $500,000.
Right.
And more than halfway, and we'll be good to go. So
extraordinary.
That's what we need to do.
And thank you, Janie Fund. We really appreciate it.
Indeed. Thank you very much. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll start the discussion of the issues of the day. We'll be right back after this.
Support for WMT comes from The Spot 518, a weekly arts, entertainment, and cultural publication for the Capital Region, available online in newsstands and venues. TheSpot518.com. Evoke Style in Stuyvesant Plaza, celebrating Valentine's with the Love Heals All essay and video contest. In-store celebration, February 9th at 6. Evoke Style on Facebook for submissions. And Mannix Marketing, Glens Falls, New York, since 1996, a web design and internet marketing firm working to help businesses get found on the internet. MannixMarketing.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue with Rosemary Armeo, Rich Oden, and Alan Chartok. All right, let's. I'm sorry.
Republicans make me laugh. I'm sorry.
I'm not a Republican. I'm a conservative.
Okay.
Okay, even worse.
Speaking of conservatives, Donald Trump last night nominated Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court in a rollout that was I think billed to be sort of more tacky than it actually turned out to be. That it would be very apprentice-like, and you bring the two finalists, and then they have a final task of checking the legality of the executive order from Friday, and the winner of that task is then named to the Supreme Court, or however that works. I think that was the way it was going to work. And then you're left on the island.
Then they have to get through the water wheel before
right.
get,
yeah,
without
do
getting
all
knocked
that
off
stuff. Okay. President
water.
Trump on Tuesday nominated Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court, elevating a conservative in the mold of Justice Antonin Scalia. Justice Scalia's widow was there last night as well, looking to succeed the late jurist and touching off a brutal partisan showdown at the start of his presidency over the ideological bent of the nation's highest court. Mr. Trump announced his selection during a much-anticipated evening ceremony that unfolded in primetime at the White House. He described Judge Gorsuch, a federal appeals court judge based in Denver, as a man who our country really needs and needs badly to ensure the rule of law and the rule of justice. It took Democrats approximately no time before they said that this was an aggressive move. And I believe what was Nancy Pelosi's quote that this was a hostile selection.
Well, you know, you guys were kidding around, and I hate to be a scold. But I truly think that that this is no funny matter here. This guy's 49 years old, which means we can expect probably he'll be around based on all the statistical tables, you know, for another 50 years or so. And as
a 49-year-old man, I hope you're right on that.
Well, I am. I know that we're going to have a lot of 100
years. Only 49, as they said in all the stories. Yeah, I posted that.
I was like, only 49. I love this.
So by kidding around the way you folks are doing now, the scold that I am.
I'm going to bring up Fire Island now.
you are normalizing a terrible thing.
Okay, I think that Trump had a fantastic day yesterday. I think all of those people who pushed the button holding their nose and have since worried about his amateur hour are saying, okay, that's why I did it, to make sure that somebody like this got on the Supreme Court instead of a Hillary Clinton pick. So he had a great day, all right? This guy, hate everything he stands for, including what I worry that he stands for and we don't know yet. He's no friend to women. Definitely no friend to gay and lesbians, but he is absolutely credentialed. He is, by all accounts, brilliant and a great writer and a wonderful human being who will be an asset to the
court. A stable force, yes.
Okay, here's the things that I want to mention. One is that, once again, Trump is a showman, and that was ridiculous, and all the media fell for it. We were all there. When do we ever have prime time coverage by all of the stations of a Supreme Court nomination? Obama did, remember, poor little Merrick Garland in the Rose Garden, and that was it. It was like a little segment, not even on the top of the news. That's the way it used to be. Now suddenly it's hype, and we fell for it again, totally forgetting about the Sean Spicer travesty of a press briefing and the Muslim ban and the whole bungling of that. That's exactly what Trump wanted, and we all fell for it. Second, strict constitutionalist, and an originalist. I want to know what Neil Gorsuch thinks about the Emoluments Clause. And I especially wonder that, since little Eric and Donnie were in the front row. You know, the two guys are supposed to be taking care of business. Business and government is going to be separated. What were they doing there as part of the show? Did that not bother you? No, that's not their job now, is to separate their dad's business.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I...
It was awful.
But I do think that by the same token, you know, you can't ostracize your children, right?
You can from plainly government business, like announcing a new Supreme Court justice.
All right, Alan.
You know, as I said,
or divest.
I have said during the entire campaign, this is the most important thing about what's happening, which is the appointment of the Supreme Court. I think Rosemary may be right. There are some people who voted because they wanted a conservative justice on the Supreme Court. But I don't believe that that's what happened here. I think most people just ignored the seriousness of the Supreme Court thing. And now we have to watch and see whether Chuck Schumer can deliver. You know, I've been thinking about this, Rosemary, a lot. The mm-hmm. one thing about Harry Reid was, you know, towards the end there was no stopping him. He was really going full steam. I haven't seen that from Chuck yet. Chuck's a friend of mine. I like him very much. I think he's one of the funniest men I've ever met. But the fact is, I'm a little concerned that they don't have their stuff together.
And I'm glad to hear you say this. You have been very supportive of him up to now, and I have felt like he's been a limp dish rag at a time when Democrats need a galvanizing center, because they're all hyped up and they're ready to move. They're donating in record numbers. The amounts that the DNC has collected since the election are record-breaking, and there's nobody to whom that's going. Elizabeth Warren, and she's already said, no, I'm not running. So she's got a set role. It is not she, and Chuck has not stepped up.
All right. Go. Rich Conan, tell us what you think about the choice, and then we can get into the other.
I think it's a smart choice for Trump. I think he buys himself a little bit of leeway because it is filling, you know, the Scalia seat. And I think Schumer. I agree with you on. I don't think Schumer has been particularly effective. And Alan, you make reference to Harry Reid. I actually think one of the reasons Schumer cannot be as effective is because of Harry Reid. And I'm not just saying structurally because of the Harry Reid rule that gives Mitch McConnell so much power now. I think that while Harry Reid's a hero among Senate Democrats, I think that he probably left a bad taste in the mouth of many people, and it would be difficult for Schumer to kind of leverage off of that. I also think that Schumer I don't think this is exactly where he want. I don't think he wants to be the obstructionist. I think Reed reveled in it.
Yeah.
Okay. He loved it. And I think Schumer is one of those guys who said, "Gee, I'd kind of like to get things done." But he's got so much pressure on him internally that he can't do it. And so he seems like a guy kind of betwixt and between.
I think that's really true. I think and I sympathize with that. I really want a full Supreme Court going full ahead. And this guy is, again, he fits. I disagree with him, but he listens. He clerked for Anthony Kennedy,
yes,
who's the conservative who most often swings. I would like a lot more swing votes on that court. So, all right, go with him. On the other hand, McConnell pulled off, he had a lot of luck, but he pulled off something that's very injurious to our democracy. He pulled a stunt that should not have been rewarded, and no one thought he would be rewarded. And not only was he rewarded, oh my God, look at the prize he has now. So are the Democrats, if they go along because they do want a Supreme Court and a functioning government, are they not saying, okay, it's all right to do things like that?
Yeah,
McConnell needs to be punished.
But I think he's almost pulled. I almost agree with you, Rosemary, because I think McConnell has almost pulled off something. I think if he completes this Supreme Court justice without having to resort to the cloture rule, then
you're changing
would,
the cloture rule,
yeah, right? Or using it basically, changing it, using it. But in other words, if he gets enough votes and doesn't have to, you know, be Harry Reid, you know, or use the Harry Reid rule, then I think he will have pulled off, you know, quite.
Yeah,
you know, quite a,
and one other thing that Trump managed with this very smart appointment nomination, he bought time with the Republican leadership, which was getting very restive last week after the boneheaded move on the Muslim ban. He now has said, okay, there's your guy. He was at the top of your list, most obvious person.
Well, and if we want to talk about optics, the other smart thing is you have been ostracizing and you have been saying that with the Republican leadership, you've kept them out of the mix. They have been getting very restless, as you mentioned, and he invited them all there last night to be there in that room and to say, as you said, here's your guy.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't agree more with Rosemary about the Garland nomination. I'm very disturbed by it. And I think, you know, to...
So do you hold a grudge is the question?
Well, it's not a question of holding a grudge. It's a question of, do you reward bad behavior?
Yeah.
You see, I think that's a difference. One thing is holding a grudge. The other is, here's a letter...
We just have about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Please see. Okay, Supreme Court is not legitimate because the Senate refused to do their constitutional duty to have hearings on Garland. And that's from Doug, and I agree with him.
I would like Merrick Garland to come out and say something about this, and I bet he would take the big view, too. We got to get back on track. I mean, I also disapprove of all those Democrats who walked out of the nomination hearings so as to delay a vote.
Yeah.
It's showmanship, and I hated it in Trump, and I hated it in the Democrats, and let's govern.
I couldn't disagree more.
We'll talk about all of that and much, much more when we come back. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. That's the email address, panel at WAMC.org. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. It is 9:33 on a Monday morning, the first day of February. Welcome to the program, Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Rich Honan. Alan, you're okay? You look a little nervous over there.
I am nervous. Right? I have no fingernails left. We started this time out by saying the Janney Fund has given us a challenge. If we could raise $633,333 or whatever, in the first day of the fund drive, the Janney Fund will give us $10,000 and the phones aren't ringing. And now, look, folks, this is when we're all in this together. We are all in this together. I need everybody on a telephone now or going to WAMC.org and saying, all right, we want that $10,000 from the Janney Fund. And I know that they'll give it to us, but only if we're going to get this. And then we heard from Stacey Hamilton, just want to sneak this one in. Joe, seriously? ? Panel, it's not their search to take. What are you talking about, very smart pick? I'm depending on 41 senators to oppose this nomination. They stole the seat.
See, that's what Schumer is up against. And it's completely justified. I completely get it. And yet, are we really going to stop the Supreme Court nomination process? We're just going to leave the court frozen?
What happened the last year, Rosemary? I don't get what you're talking about. They stole the seat, didn't they?
Well, stopping a new appointment is not going to get the seat back, Alan.
Well, no, but you can't reward bad behavior.
So what are you saying? We're going to have 8 Supreme Court justices from now on?
It's all right with me.
Okay.
I'd rather have 8 than one more than half who is a reward for, as I have been saying all along, bad behavior.
So well, this is the reverse of the Roosevelt court packing scheme? It's the court unpacking scheme?
Actually, Alan is right historically, and even by in recent history, Ted Cruz was saying, I'm fine with 8. In fact, go down lower. And the truth is—
He was singing a different tune last night.
Yeah, because he thought it was going to be a liberal judge when he was saying this. And the court has, in the beginning, did not have 9. That is a modern construct. The court operates completely fine without it. But if that's true, then let's just talk about that instead of these games.
Let's talk about bad behavior. They stole the seat. I mean, what part of that?
You know, Alan, I'm not sure that the Democrats tried. I know there's not a lot they could have done, but I think at the time, they, like everybody else in the country, was doing election
math.
They
were expecting
Hillary. And they were thinking, fine, first we'll make McConnell look even worse.
Right.
And then when we roll out our far left-wing, you know, justice, we'll say, hey, you could have had the other guy, but, you know— Right? You know, Garland's.
Yeah.
We'll roll them out after Hillary gets elected, and then they'll have nothing to say.
Here's what I hate is the vilification of these judges. Robert Bork, I didn't mind because he was involved in Watergate, but and he could fight back. But these are two scholarly, hardworking, amazing judges, Merrick and now Gorsuch, and they're caught in this political just storm. It's just so unseemly.
I just want to say one more thing.
Okay.
You cannot put lipstick on a pig. The fact that these guys do as well as they do, they write well, they're constitutional scholars. You're not buying that, are you, Rosemary?
I am buying that.
They know exactly who they're putting in there, and they know it's a surefire vote, for the Trumpians.
Ask whoever appointed John Roberts, who upheld the Obamacare fiasco.
Well, he did. Well, he actually gutted it from behind, Rich.
Yeah,
we all know
come
that
on.
Now. But the truth is that until the Supreme Court ruled in 2000 on the election, we didn't have these kind of battles. Bork was like kind of an anomaly because of Nixon's attempt to put unqualified people
Thomas?
On.
That was before then, wasn't it?
Well, okay, that was sexual misbehavior. Yeah. But it was rare. Those are rare. If you look at most of the appointments, and Rachel Maddow did this last night, they were approved by wide margins or even unanimous votes. I like the idea of having men and women who are above the fray.
What are you talking about above
actually,
the fray?
They should be. We used to have that.
They're not above the fray. They're going to stamp what Trump wants stamped. That's why you put them on the court.
No, they don't.
Oh,
once
please.
They're on the court, what can Trump
please.
Do to him?
You know,
what can Trump do to Gorsuch once he's sitting on the court? Nothing.
Well, let me
appointed
tell you something.
For life.
Rosemary, come on now. I've taught this subject for a long time, but forget I ever said that.
So have I.
I haven't.
Me either.
But the fact is that when we put somebody on the Supreme Court, it is because we know what we want on that court. If you're a president, you know what you want. He writes well. He smiles. He's young. But he is doing exactly what Trump is going to want him to do. And I don't care about what you're saying about Roberts, because that law had to be saved. But when Roberts did it, he didn't do it nicely. I can tell you that much.
I'll just bring up Souter, who is always used. The president appointed him, thought he was getting one thing. He got something very different.
But that's why.
And that's always possible when you have smart people talking to each other in a collegial atmosphere. They move each other. In fact, that's one of the hopes for Gorsuch, that he'll pull Kennedy back into the conservative part of the party and away from the liberals who have lured him with Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the other smart liberal judges who have made sense to him. That's the way the court is supposed to work. I want Congress out of this whole
thing. You weren't kissed by a frog this morning, were you?
No.
Because I think you're turning into a Rich Honan-type conservative.
I'm trying to reach into my idealistic roots.
I don't get it. But one last thing, and that is, the old days.
That's quite an insult, by the way.
The old days, they would put somebody into an office, and Eisenhower said the Chief Judge Warren was the worst appointment he ever made. I don't think he really meant it, but he did. Okay, but now they vet them. They vet them from the morning to the night. They vet them from the night to the morning. They never stop.
Right.
And so
I like
the old
process.
They know. Well, yes, you may like it, but that's not the way it is.
Actually, Lindsey Graham made a really good point last night. He goes, look, I took a lot of crap for approving Obama appointees, and I didn't like them, but they were qualified, and that's the way the system works. And now Democrats have to do the same thing.
Nonsense. Well,
did you just wave me off? Oh my God.
For those of you listening at home, there was a little bit of a talk to the hand right there.
Okay, all my women friends who defend me, right. I just got the hand.
It wasn't to you. It was that way. I didn't do it towards you. I did it up towards the ceiling.
This actually doesn't play as well on the radio as you would think.
So let us just go.
Wait, I want to quote David Engel, who says, Alan is correct. The seat was stolen.
Oh, you're in charge of the letters, Alan. I'm not saying you're cherry picking them or anything, but.
Oh, that's a put down.
Yes, it is a put down.
Okay, so. If you go, so Alan, let us proceed and extrapolate with the logic of going against this pick. So does that play into the Democratic plan now to say, okay, we're now going to oppose these confirmations of cabinet nominees. We're not going to show up for the cabinet, the individual committee meetings. We need to have one Democrat there. We're not going to show up, and we're going to oppose those.
What else, Joe? What else could they do? Can they do?
Well, they could show up and vote.
They show up and vote, and then they just, you know.
They can show up and make speeches that go out on the air for other people to hear, and you rally.
Please,
people.
I think they need to do something dramatic, just as dramatic, for example, as 2.5 million women coming out to and men coming out to protest what's going on. This is a very serious thing. These are the people who brought you Citizens United. Okay, this is one more vote for Citizens United. Don't you get it, folks?
No,
what's the problem here?
But you're talking about the Supreme Court. I'm talking about these particular cabinet nominees.
Okay. Well, I think these cabinet
missing a beat.
These cabinet nominees are terrible. Or as Gene Shalit, the great Gene Shalit, once said of Ishtar, the movie, Ishtar is terrible, and they are. And these guys are terrible. And if this is not, they have to do whatever they can do.
So, Alan, the question is, if they're terrible, is it effective for the Democrats to show their displeasure by sitting it out? Or is there some other more effective response?
See, I find that, so just for me watching it, so this is just a personal reaction, is that that seems to me to be childish and counterproductive.
Yep.
And it gives up. You have this great pulpit that you're giving up.
Absolutely. I understand the urge, of course.
Yes.
But it does seem really childish.
Yeah, but that urge has got to pass after like 2 minutes, right?
I think most people would.
Even Elizabeth Warren, for example, there's no feistier, stronger, articulate opponent than Elizabeth Warren. She voted for Ben Carson, took a lot of heat for that.
She goes,
look, you know, the guy presented himself really well. He answered all my questions in a really satisfactory manner. I'm going to vote for him. Doesn't that not make her votes no against the people she votes no for more realistic and more meaningful? She's not just voting no to everyone. She's got reasons. Lindsey Graham, same thing. He voted for many Obama picks. Not that he agreed with them, but that the person was qualified and should be expected to serve and will be held accountable.
All right. Let's take a pause there. We'll take a break. We come back. We were just handed a stack of letters. So we'll get to those letters and we'll work through those. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. So you got to wonder if we can get it to $550,000 by the time we're done.
Well, I can tell you this much. All of a sudden, thanks to the good work of the people out front, we made about $5,000 in a couple of minutes.
Just in that 15 minute.
But that's not enough.
No. But I'm saying, what if we said, like, just set a little goal and said, hey, we can get to 550 by the time we take the news break and Ray goes at the top of the hour.
It's not enough.
No, of course it's not enough. We need more.
We need to do it today, really. If everybody would just do something today, my blood pressure would go down. You know,
by the way, we're talking about the lockbox, which you can help out at WAMC.org.
Because we got
your blood pressure.
Because we got $10,000 from the Janie Fund if we can do this.
Yes.
Well, that's what they did. I didn't ask. That's what happened.
All right. WAMC.org. Now, Alan has a stack of letters in front of him. It is a sheath of papers, and he will start to read from them in a moment.
Okay, here we go. Amy said, Alan is correct. If you don't stand up to a bully, he will continue to punch you in the face and steal your lunch money. McConnell acted in bad faith and damaged our system greatly. By the way, look at Gorsuch on labor. He believes corporations are people. The Democrats have to stand firm and do whatever they can. Thank you, Amy. You're a good person. You always have been. And then when I talked about how, you know, my pictures didn't come out, they showed me in my act. They showed me accurately as not the most handsome man. They said, for Alan, I'm reminded of a Billy Crystal joke about three phases of life: childhood, adulthood, and you look fantastic. And. And Maggie,
that's good.
And Maggie said, good morning, panel. I just made my contribution to the lockbox. We need to end the fund drive as soon as possible to get back to regular programming. There's too much important, frankly frightening news that the public needs to be informed of with this new administration. Please continue what you're doing. Barbara says, for reminding us this morning, thank you, Alan, for reminding us this morning to take care of ourselves with yoga and meditation. I did that on my early thing. This is a very difficult time for many of us, and every day the news brings us further from our vision of America.
I'm not anti-yoga.
I know you're not.
I do yoga.
Take action and
really
stay healthy. Take action.
I admire yoga.
Take action.
I fall over.
You do people who do yoga.
Oh! Can you say that on the radio? Wow.
Take action and stay healthy. We thank you, WAMC, and that's from Barbara. Daisy says, I would have been inclined to give Gorsuch if they had, is it pronounced Gorsuch?
Gorsuch.
Gorsuch.
Gorsuch, I believe, right? Neil Gorsuch.
Gorsuch, okay. If they hadn't blocked Merrick Garland. But because they blocked Garland, they should not be given this pick. They need to pay for what they did to Garland. Democrats, show some spine.
You know, I'd be for that if you could tell me how you're going to make the Republicans pay. What do Democrats get out of it? What does the country get out of it?
Well, the country doesn't get anything by having a guy who's going to another vote for Citizens United or against women. They don't get that. And I don't know why you think that by having that extra vote, so it's instead of 4-4, it's 5-4 in the favor of the people who did the bullying, it's a good idea.
Well,
I don't get that part.
We spent 9 years with the 5-4 court.
Can I?
We did fine.
But let's talk about the—
No, we didn't. We got Citizens United.
We have Citizens United, and the ACA is messed up. But that may get straightened out, too. Republicans have run into just public opinion that a change is not wanted. So I'm hopeful, trying to be hopeful, that there will be moderation on all sides.
Well,
let me ask about Alan's specific—
Or else it's fascism.
So let me ask about Alan's specific point here. So if the Democrats block the nominee, how possible is that, and do you think that they can actually achieve that to only keep it to a court of eight?
Lindsey Graham said last night, this guy's being appointed one way or another.
And I agree with that.
All McConnell has to do is change
nuclear
the
culture
role. Yeah.
It's nuclear option. That's right. And if they do, that'll just show what hypocrites they've been all along. They're against it when Obama wants to make a pick, and now they're going to start yelling, vote up or down, vote up or down.
Well, but they're doing that already. I mean, the hypocrisy of the Republicans in Congress is so apparent.
Yeah, but to McConnell's, and I'm not a big admirer of McConnell
you
at all. I've said that before. But to his credit, he did say back then when Harry Reid did this, he said, you know, you guys aren't going to be in, you know, think before you do this because you're not going to be in the majority forever.
So your point is?
Your point is that he didn't necessarily want this weapon, but he's got it now.
Well,
and he's got
so
it
that
because
makes it
of
all
Harry
right.
Reid. But it now, started with Harry Reid.
You're talking about cloture, but I'm talking about his refusing to consider a nomination 1 year away from the end of the Obama presidency. That has never been done before. And now,
so now you're going to extend
given,
that to 4 years?
He's given a weapon to the Democrats. So why? It is hypocritical of him to say, don't use this.
I understand the Democrats' impulse here. Look, we've seen more hypocrisy on both sides. I mean, James Comey alone engendered more hypocrisy on day by day. You know, one day he was a hero, then he was a villain. And so we've seen more. I don't know why we're surprised to see hypocrisy out of Washington. I think he was psychiatric,
to tell you the truth.
This is a typical thing when you're arguing against a narcissistic, a crazy person like the Trump and many of his administrators.
We
try to even it out. No, not you. We try to even it out and say, oh, hypocrisy on both sides. No, they don't compare.
So what's your answer then? How would you handle it?
If I were Chuck Schumer,
yeah,
I would go along with the hearings. I would vet him to death, but I would vote. And if I felt after those hearings that he was smart and reasonable and would talk with others and all the credentials were there, I'd vote for him.
Would you let Merkley filibuster it?
Yep.
If you're
fight it as hard as I could.
Maybe disassociate
yourself a little bit and let him fight it. Yeah, I can see
so,
that too.
So Julius, who quite frequently writes to us and is quite frequently on the right side, is uncharacteristically on the wrong side today. Gorsuch, I have to agree with Rosemary on this. The worst thing the Democrats could do on this nomination, not rewarding bad behavior, is to force McConnell to use the nuclear option. But does he care? And then the action is not to decide on the particular merits of any nominee, but simply retribution, but ultimately with no advantage for the Democrats. Okay.
So, yeah. Okay. And then go back. And then you have
give me that.
I think that one may be in that pile. So you just want to stay with it.
He's afraid you're going to duplicate.
Yeah. Just stay with it. That's all.
Okay. Here we go. Okay. Alan, says Keith, WMC receives $400,000 a year from the federal government, which is the equivalent to protecting Melania Trump for 10 hours at Trump Tower in New York City, a.k.a. the White House North. If your family isn't going to live in the White House, then don't run for president. If they can find money for this expense, then they can certainly find money for NPR and WAMC, and that's from Keith.
Well, that's just an easy shot. If you want to attack, if you want to attack Trump for spending money, I'm kind of worried that he's got this private guard around him. If they're in brown shirts, I'm going to really go crazy.
Yeah.
Melania and protecting Melania is not the issue.
No, the issue is a great deal of money that is being spent unnecessarily, billions. By the time it's all done, billions
on a wall.
No, not only on a wall, but on the apartment.
He is kind
of
against government waste, right? Hasn't he? He's come out and saying that the government's spending
money.
But he still wants a wall.
He ran on the wall. I mean, you could whether you like it or not, he ran on. In fact, all of these things that are going on, yeah. I know you don't like it, but that's what he ran on. And while it's
we're
upsetting,
getting what he promised.
Yeah, it's not. It can't
getting
be a
some
surprise.
Of what he promised.
In fact, it sounds like the Republicans are surprised that he's actually doing.
Well, we have an article today. One of the things about they seem blindsided by the fact of a lot of what's going on. Let's get to the letters.
Okay, back to the letters. Rosemary nailed it. Trump manipulated the media, but with his 8 p.m. primetime announcement, I was disappointed with major networks carrying it. I refused to tune in.
Me too.
I agree.
And then
Why did you guys watch?
He was so excited about it. He comes out, you know, with his hair newly weaved, and he's all to applause. Thank you very much. And then he's like stuttering. Oh, he sounds like me.
Who was in the prime spouse seat? Did you notice? Where you would put your spouse?
I don't know.
Kellyanne Conway.
Ooh. Okay. So Joe says, "Here's
what,
the
why do you, seriously. Why do you guys? Why, was it because to
of
learn?
The program?
Well,
I mean,
we're
going to
talk about.
I did
about
not.
It.
I was fast asleep.
Okay.
All right.
It was 8 o'clock.
It was 8. Yeah, 8:02.
I got to sleep at 7.
No, but.
Okay,
yeah,
you can't understand, but you come on the program and you knock something in. But then you write, I get emails from you at like 10 and 11. And
that's when I wake up. See, when I wake up after the first 4 solid hours or 3 solid hours, then I scan the email and then I write back and say, do this, do that. Okay.
All right, back to the letters.
Okay, Joe says, here's the very first thing Democratic senators should ask Gorsuch. Was the GOP Senate right to refuse action on the nomination of Merrick Garland? Darn right, Joe from Mansfield.
Can I just say something? Yeah. We have a letter here that said they were disappointed that NPR covered it. Look, we covered it. We covered it when, as you said, the Rose Garden ceremony with Merrick Garland, and I think we have the obligation to cover it. The way in which it was presented, I certainly understand the concern about that, but. If as a news organization, if you're going to cover the announcement of a Supreme Court justice, you're going to announce the of every justice, right?
I'm proud of you, Joe. I really am, because we're getting letters now like saying, you shouldn't be carrying the president's weekly address. Well, we carried every single one of Obama's.
Yeah, I listened to those.
What in the world are you going to do?
Here's what we should not be doing. CNN is broadcasting the Daily Sean Spicer Liathon and saying, oh, daily briefing, breaking news. No, it isn't. You go to that and you listen to the news and then you check it all out and you put on what out of that conference is actually news.
Do you think they would have done that had he not gone off on the first day?
No, I think they're waiting for him. He's an explosion waiting to happen. I do not think he can
last. Yeah, how long can he last?
He's awful.
60 days, 30
awful.
Days? days?
To get up there and say, oh, yeah.
I have March 17th in the pool, by the way.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
March.
By the way,
I
won the Obama pool on how long, I'm sorry, how long would it take Obama to come out and publicly say something?
You won that?
I think it was within 10 days or something like
that.
Come on, that was an extraordinary 10 days.
Okay.
All right.
But for Sean Spicer to get up as he did yesterday and say the ban, the need for the Muslim ban, which isn't a Muslim ban, even though Trump calls it that, was proved by the bombing of the Quebec mosque is unbelievable, since all of the evidence, all of the suspicion is on a white supremacist who admired Trump. That's just complete bold lying. I don't get it.
And who did not, I don't know, he didn't come from one of the seven countries, right?
No. Of course not.
And now we go back to the letters.
Oh, yes, we do. Thank you. Michael writes, I can't wait for McConnell and his gang to start screaming obstructionist when the Democrats filibuster this nomination. He is the hypocrite in chief. And that's
I don't think they are. I personally think that if I was on the other, if I was, you know, leading the Republicans, I don't think I would mind a filibuster. And I also don't think I would mind this delay on the nominations. Because I'm not sure that the White House has a plan for its tax cut. I'm not sure it has a plan for Obamacare. Right. I think that you're just really just giving them time to keep working on it and rolling it out.
Rosemary said right to you, Rich. I say wrong. And here's why, you know, you're wrong. First of all, Trump has gone explosive about the denial of his cabinet picks. Now, I just don't think it's silliness that he's doing that. I think he really is ticked off that his work doesn't seem to be, his magic doesn't seem to be working the way it was.
Here's another reason for the delay, and it speaks to you, Alan. Trump has truly messed up in his first 10 years, and it comes out of this eagerness to show that he's carrying out his campaign promises. But he has people there, including Reince Priebus and Jared Kushner, who are calming him down, teaching him the ropes. He is getting smoother and smoother with each outrage that he's carrying out. And so a delay is a very good thing.
Alyssa says, all this foot stamping is playing into the orange one's little hand. If we hold up this one.
I know it's mean, but no matter how many times I hear it, it's still funny. Go ahead.
If we hold up this one, he'll pick some far-right pig that barely finished law school. Ladies and gentlemen, he's going to get three more picks. I've been talking about that for many, many months now before the election. The first
that would be an extraordinary number of picks. Even with the advanced
he
stage,
could get three. He could.
It's possible. And he won't pick people who are just incompetent and out of law school. Nixon tried that, and he was stopped. Both sides agree that you can get strict liberals and strict conservatives, and they are also highly qualified.
Absolutely right.
Don't have to pick incompetence.
That's right. Alan, why call them Trumpians? I prefer Trumpets. And that's from Steve.
Trumpers.
And Joan says, they want their Supreme Court justice to take back women's rights 50 years.
Yes.
Notice he keeps praising his faith. Alan is right on target. Sorry, but Rosemary does not see the light in the Supreme Court nomination.
You're wrong? That letter writer is wrong. And it will be play out. You'll see.
David says.
All right, one more and then we've got to go over the
news. This is a good one.
Okay.
Alan is correct.
Oh, this is a good one. Alan is correct.
The seat was stolen. These are not ordinary times. Every Trump nominee to the court should be filibustered and resisted for the next 4 years. Forget about how supposedly serious Gorsuch is as a legal scholar. It's irrelevant. He's being appointed, and he uses the F word, the fascist, and will do his bidding.
All right. We'll take a break there. We'll be back. First, news. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us,
yep.
And we welcome you. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Rich Honan, I'm Joe Donahue, and what's the latest total there, Alan?
It's good, but it's not great. It's not enough. We started this morning with 547.05. Now we're up to 547. Come on, everybody.
Wow.
This is the Janie Fund. They'll give us
$7,500.
Yeah, that's not enough.
No, we need to make like 20.
Yeah, I know, but say thank you.
You guys do 7,000 bucks in less than an hour?
You just made $7,000 on that phone call you took during the break. don't give us that.
Come on.
If I run for office, can I have WAMC as my treasurer, my fundraiser?
I got to tell you, Trump is a gold mine for left-wing fundraising. Right?
For right-wing, too. Give me a break.
Aaron has written... The Resistance. Finally, a progressive backbone on the panel. Please, Alan, be this fiery every day. If the Democrats give in, what do we need them for? You can't fight something with nothing. This is the Resistance.
I just have to say, because usually Alan is such the shrinking violet.
I know, I'm surprised.
We'll have fiery every day, Alan.
Having made you look good, I would like to point out that we have spent the entire day talking about the Supreme Court, which was Trump's goal. And just to bring us back to reality, we should not ban Muslims. He needs to show us his taxes. He needs to divest. And what the heck were the Russians doing in our election? Let's not lose sight of these.
Thank you, Rosemary. You're exactly right. Do you want more, Joe, or what do you want to do?
Well, let's go on to some other subjects, because Rosemary does make a good point. We have in the box, there's something like 450 letters that we've just gotten in the last half hour.
It's
so we obviously can't get to all of them. And a lot of them are duplicates. Mostly Alan's right and Rosemary's wrong. Some Rosemary's right, and it's good to have Rich on the panel. So that's kind of how we look
sum
at things.
Sum them up.
I'm loving this day. Usually everybody's yelling at me.
Yeah,
so
let's
do
something where we're
right.
just loving
so,
being here.
So let's change that, Rich. So what do you make of the State Department dissent letter? 1,000 signatures. Trump's ban draws 1,000 signatures. So we'll go out to exactly what Rosemary was just talking about the ban. It started out in Washington, then it went to Jakarta, then across Africa. One person even showed up on Facebook. Within hours, a State Department dissent cable asserting that President Trump's executive order to temporarily bar citizens from 7 Muslim-majority countries would not make the nation safer, traveled like a chain letter or a viral video. The cable wended its way through dozens of American embassies around the world, quickly emerging as one of the broadest protests, thank you, by American officials against their president's policies, and it's not over yet.
Well, first of all, there is a mechanism that they can use to do this.
It's a mechanism set up by, I think, the American Foreign Service worker. It's basically their union.
Foreign Service officers and civil servants.
And yes. So they have as part, I think it's their trade association.
Their union.
This was started in the 20s. And they have this way of, you know, if you, in good faith, you do not agree with what your government is doing, there's this mechanism for sending these dissent cables.
Right. And many of them, of course, are civil servants. Right,
yeah.
And
so 11,000.
So therefore, they have
the ones who aren't the spies.
They have a protection.
Oh my God!
And the Trumpians. Somebody didn't like that word. The Trumpets.
CIA is in the embassies. The Foreign Service doesn't have to do the spying. They've got actual spies doing them in the embassies.
7,600 Foreign Service officers, 11,000 civil servants.
I don't think Trump cares at all what the world thinks of this. I don't think he cares at all. What he's doing, it's showmanship. And so you have conservatives saying, oh, you people don't care about border security. And the liberals are saying, he's a fascist. It's awful. Muslims are not all bad. And the real reality is that Trump could have just as easily accomplished the goal of safer borders by limiting the number of immigrants allowed into the country and upping the vetting process or changing the vetting process to whatever he wanted. It would not have caused any of this angst and anxiety. This is a shock event. It's like, oh, we're all screaming about this when he could have accomplished his goals more effectively and more efficiently in a different way.
So the objective, Rosemary, if I hear you right, is not to accomplish the goal, but to make a certain presentation.
Yeah, and he's testing. You know, he now has the names of everybody in the Foreign Service who he wants to X out. He has them. It's a loyalty test.
Sean Spicer said at the press conference yesterday that State Department officials who did not agree with Mr. Trump's agenda should either get with the program or they can go.
There you go. They just put an X on their back.
Yeah, I think he did accomplish what he wanted to, though. And first of all, I don't understand how you can call it a shock event, Rosemary. I mean, again, what he said, but he said he was going to do this.
No, Rich. He said he was going to do it, and then he said, oh, no, it won't be a Muslim ban. And then he puts out a Muslim ban, and then says, oh, no, it really isn't
You're skipping over the part where it's not a Muslim ban. All right.
It's
a ban from certain countries. And I think his goal was to, I think he was doing in reverse. The same thing that Obama sought to do, going the other way. When Obama stood up and he said, you know, with the DACA, the Immigration Act, the Dream, with the Dreamers, Obama basically was telling the world, hey, come on in. Everybody come on in. We're not checking ID. And Trump is standing up and telling the world, whether you like it or not, he's standing up and telling the world, we are checking ID.
Rich, did you just tell a whopper?
Yes.
I think you did.
Obama made it very clear that people should
the whopper
should just come in, and whether you agree with it or not, that was the message that went out.
Everybody should just come in unchecked. The fact of the matter is that they've been checking like crazy, and every impartial person.
The state of Arizona disagrees with
you. It takes 2 years for a Syrian to come in.
Oh, really? The state of Arizona? Well, that really
Jan
gets...
Jan Brewster, yeah.
That really
Brewer.
Gets me...
Well, they're the ones who were bearing the brunt of a lot of the unchecked immigration, though. All I'm saying is it's up to...
Bushu.
And nothing he did does any checking of immigration in Arizona where we're talking about Hispanics. This is aimed at Muslims.
I think he wanted to make it clear, and I'm not saying I agree, but you said he could have accomplish his goal in some other way. I think his goal was to say, you know, we're not going to be as open as we were before. I'm not saying that's a good thing, but I'm thinking that was his goal, and I think he's gone a long way towards accomplishing
and
that.
And leave the people then with the green card stranded in the airport and to
5-year-old Syrian boy, the doctor from the Cleveland Clinic who couldn't get back to patients.
By the way, just in the breaking news, the Senate Republicans have taken the rather extraordinary step to move forward with two of Trump's top cabinet nominees after confronting a boycott from Democrats. So the Democrats boycotted, and the Republicans voted to suspend committee rules and advance the Mnuchin and Price nominations. So
there is a surprise.
Okay. So that brings you up to date.
It's so unnecessary, though. Why? This is just ridiculous government fighting again. The Democrats were wrong to walk out. The Republicans are wrong to suspend the rules. They would have won anyway. Keep the rules.
So, Alan, the Democrats just did what you told them to do. Right?
Yeah, you're happy?
You said we should walk out, so they walked out, and now the process is advancing.
No,
they
did it, Rich, and I supported them in doing it, and I still think they did the right thing because they showed some resistance, they showed some backbone, they said this is terrible, and they transmitted that fact to the American people, and I think it's great. Now, do I think it would have been better had they done it better? Yeah. So when Nancy Pelosi and her group got up in front of the Supreme Court the other day, and they didn't have the... And I turned around to Roselle and I said, I can't believe this is happening, that the speaker isn't working. She can't use the speaker. Darned
the microphone, not the speaker.
Well, the speaker and the microphone.
Yeah.
You see,
right.
The microphone.
Yeah. Well, it comes out like Ryan.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
So, the next morning, Trump tweets and he says, they can't even make the microphone work.
Yeah.
Well, I'm asking you, so now they've taken your advice and now the process has
moved.
Wait
a second. I supported what they did. Stop putting words in my mouth.
You've supported what they did, and now the process has moved along. What do you do next? Are you now filibuster?
You do whatever the hell you can do.
Okay. You get a nice bottle of Pinot Noir. You pour it, maybe a little ice cream with it, and you live on.
What's your point, Rosemary? I don't get that.
This is inevitable. His cabinet members are going to... Yeah, that works,
like
too.
Chianti.
His cabinet is going to be appointed. And now the Democrats have to be the opposition. And the press has to do its job much better than it has been doing it. And we'll fight another day.
You know, there is a Republican precedent for this. Because apparently
Eisenhower.
When Abraham Lincoln was in the Illinois State House as a state legislature...
I saw that this morning on the old movie channel.
Oh, did they actually report this?
No, on the old movie channel. They played Lincoln in Illinois.
Wait,
okay, well,
tell us what you're talking about.
Lincoln and a bunch of other I don't know if he was a Whig then or a Republican. I guess he wasn't a Republican. There wasn't a Republican Party yet. They jumped out of the window of the State House to defeat a quorum. It was on the first floor. And him and like eight other people jumped out of the window to try and defeat the quorum.
Well, they've done that. Remember in Wisconsin when that awful governor was trying to, you know, change.
Oh, in Texas. The Democrats all walked out of the legislature. And,
yeah, right. Went somewhere else, yeah. Didn't work then either.
Worked for Lincoln.
All right.
Yeah, that ended up really well for him.
Hindsight stinks.
Okay. I want to get to some more letters because we have a lot of them, and
I want to be
true to what people are writing in about.
Okay. Amy, we read Amy's very good letter before about if you don't stand up to a bully, we'll continue to punch you in the face. Okay. And Kathleen in Cambridge, you know her?
I
thought you knew everybody in that town.
I would need to know more.
Oh, okay. All right.
I know a couple Kathleens.
Just wanted to let you know that I have never appreciated Mr. Honan's input on the panel more than I do now. You help keep us all honest. Keep up the good work, Kathleen in Cambridge.
Oh, that Kathleen.
Thank you, Kathleen.
John says, if it's any consolation, once a justice is appointed, the chains come off, including those of the Republican Party. These justices are free to think independently. And, well, they certainly have their ideologies. We know their opinions are forever and their own and no one else's. John, I wish I could agree with you, but I do not. And the fact of the matter is these guys have been doing a very good job of predicting behavior on the part of judges because we know that it's been working. Look at the last several years. You don't find many guys coming over to the other side. You see Justice Kennedy and every once in a while doing what he needs to do. And by the way, the new judge did clerk for Justice Kennedy, which is interesting. Okay, Casey says, so while everyone's busy looking at the Supreme Court, the House is voting to get rid of the reporting regulations that require the oil and gas companies to report to the SEC any payments they make to foreign entities. This information is per CNBC.
All right, so see, there's a good good media behavior. Get out of the White House, get over to Congress, read every bill coming through. They're filled with poison little pills.
And I keep trying to tell you, the major networks and others have people over in the Congress. They have people at the White House. You can't not have people at the White House, Rosemary. You just can't, because one day something's going to happen, and they're not going to be there.
So what? There's millions of people around everywhere with cell phones. They'll be there.
Speaking of that, can I just take a quick break? Just because, not a break, but I'm interested in the story, and I want to see if what you make of this. But we've been hearing from when the Republicans had the retreat in Philadelphia, there was the information from that meeting leaked out about what they were saying behind closed doors regarding Obamacare and about national security. So now it turns out that they apparently had a spy who was in there and doing exactly what Rosemary said. They had the camera. So
And
so they take it and they send it to the papers. They send it to the Washington Post. They send it to the New York Times. And now there's a full-scale investigation and to find out
who's the leaker.
Who's the mysterious. And now they think it's like not somebody leaking, but it was somebody who was there not authorized to be there, correct?
That's what they're investigating, but there's no evidence of that. I mean, it could have been one of them.
They said it could have happened before. Somebody, like a woman posed as a spouse?
Yeah, that's right. They did say that at a different event? Yeah, at a different event. But is it the same? That's what they're looking for this
These cameras could be the size of a flea's eye.
Yep.
Well, and they're recording everything, but it's interesting. And so see how... But to Rosemary's point, you know, they are everywhere.
Rich, your credibility just took a hit. The vetting process for refugees was very tough under Obama. It took months for even the Army translator to get his visa. Where is your proof? And that's Greg from Cooperstown.
I will have the proof the next time I'm here.
Okay, that's good. Do your homework. All right, now... Now we heard from.
And by the way, the vetting process did not require it's so extreme. It does not even require vetting people's social media. Right, so you're not even allowed.
This is the San Bernardino story. This is no.
It's not
Syrian
just,
refugees go through 2 years of vetting. It's not easy. You can take a few examples, Rich, but that doesn't disprove the in general what goes on.
And Trump didn't change the amount of refugees that the country was going to take. I think he still kept the cap at 50,000.
That's what I'm saying. He could have lowered it and kept out people he didn't want,
right.
And done it quietly and efficiently. But that's not what he wants. He wants noise and chaos.
Alan, as usual, is wrong, says
I didn't hear that.
Says Robert. Alan, as usual, is wrong. Even the head of the Obama administration, Homeland Security, admitted that the vetting of aliens, as extensive it might be, still can't guarantee that the alien is okay, says Robert. All right. Let's see here. And then we go to Allison, who says, Obama intervened because Arizona was going to require police to stop anybody they thought might be an illegal immigrant and ask for papers. Is that the world you would like, Rich?
No, that is not the world I would like.
Are you following Breitbart again? Allison and Carmel.
What Arizona was trying to do was saying, look, we have these federal immigration laws that the feds are not enforcing, so can we enforce them? And the feds said, no, either we enforce them or nobody will. And at the end of the day, it was nobody will.
George says, hey, Rich, hey. Dreamers are children brought here by parents. They are not just coming in. They are growing up undocumented. Rich, do not conflate dreamers with those now coming in after a long vetting process with proper visas. And that's from George.
But it was Obama himself who, after months and months, actually years of saying, I don't have authority to do this by executive order, it's got to be done legislatively, turns around and tried to do it by executive order.
He did do it. Trump is doing the same thing.
A federal judge struck it down.
It's the same thing as McConnell taking a step never done before, and now it's engraved. We have some really bad processes taking place in the last few years.
But my point was, he still, whether it was struck down or not, Obama had a message he wanted to get out, and he got it out. And Trump, I believe, has a message he's trying to get out, and he's doing the same thing. I'm not saying I agree with either of their messages, but I think that's what they're trying to do.
You're talking about his tactic.
Yeah.
We had a letter from somebody this morning. I read it, I guess, in one of my wake-up times in the middle of the night that said they would deal with one, we should read just one letter because the panel is so much better than the letter writers. I reject that in hand.
The letter writers are great.
I think that the whole point of this program is interaction. And interactivity. And I love the letters, okay, most of them. Good morning, panel. Can Rich or any other conservative, including Trump, accurately articulate what the present vetting procedures are for immigrants and refugees and explain to Americans what needs to be done better?
Yeah, Rich, what needs to be done better is that, and they just had a press conference on this, which was actually a very informative press conference. It was Flynn and it was Homeland Security. But one of the problems they have is the vetting is two-way, and so it's our U.S. officials are trying to get information from officials in other countries. And the problem is, very understandably, first of all, other countries don't collect the kind of information that we do. And then you have countries like Syria, Yemen, and Libya, which are, in complete disarray. So it's really trying to get information from them. And it's also, we're looking for information that's not even organically being collected at this point anyway. That's what they're trying to improve in the vetting process.
Martin writes, Rosemary's attitude is symptomatic of the plague Democrats have suffered for years. The Republicans fight dirty while the Democrats try to get along. They stole the seat. It was shameless, illegal, and undemocratic. Now we should compromise while the future of the country's democracy is at stake? Are you kidding? Chuck needs to be tough, obstruct Trump, and save us from one more neocon. Like Alan says, now is the time for courage.
I have to say that's interesting for me to hear, only because that's what I've been hearing that on the other side for years. You know, when you listen to right-wing talk radio and they say, boy, the Democrats just do whatever they want and the Republicans run around. This is when Obama was president. Republicans run around wringing their hands and trying to get people to like them. It's interesting that people are now seeing that on the other side as well.
And Alexandra, did we read this one? Hello, panel. Alan is right. That's a strange ring to it. You cannot reward people who rejected their constitutional duties we read that, right?
Yeah.
Doing exactly what they wanted. Okay.
He knew we read that.
And by the way, we are out of time.
Oh, no.
But quickly remind people about the lockbox.
Hurry,
people.
Hey, time is money.
I know.
What a billable hour is?
To you guys, it sure is.
Okay. It's WAMC.org to help out the lockbox, WAMC.org. My thanks to Alan and Rosemary and Rich. You can go now, Rich. We'll be back after this.